Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians, chapter 1, we are going to resume our study of the theme of rejoicing, looking at reasons to rejoice from the book of Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians, chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. We're going to consider a life or death contemplation. Let's read the verses, and then I'll explain what I mean by this title and what it is that Paul is discussing in this section. Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 26. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. We've been following Paul's train of thought as he writes to the brethren in Philippi from his Roman imprisonment. He's awaiting the outcome of his trial. This would seem to be, as we've looked at it in recent weeks or past weeks, this would seem to be, we would naturally expect for this to be a very low point in Paul's life, yet from this prison cell as an innocent person, not a prison cell, he's under house arrest, we've talked about that, but he's awaiting an uncertain hearing before Caesar. He could lose his life. We would expect a letter perhaps full of complaints and criticism and charges of injustice. Instead, we have phrase after phrase of rejoice and rejoicing. And that's the approach we've been taking to the book of Philippians. Why is it that Paul is able to rejoice? He has told them that the things that are happening to him, these injustices, are actually turning out for the progress of the gospel, that God has been able to use his chains to reach new people, and that his courage under this situation has emboldened brethren to preach the gospel even more. This brings us to a passage that we're going to consider today, in which Paul is considering the two possible outcomes of his hearing. He could either be cleared, he could be released and set free, or he could be put to death. That was entirely up to Caesar, who he had appealed unto. Again, we find that Paul's tone is not one of regret or sorrow. While he is uncertain of his future, he thinks he knows how it's going to turn out. But either way, he is thankful that Christ will be magnified in his body. Which should he choose, life or death? In this passage, Paul is going to teach us some good lessons about our attitude towards life and death. What should our view be about life as a Christian and about death? So let's take a look in the text first. We are going to see Paul's attitude toward life. And in verse 21, we read, Paul said, to live is Christ. We would expect Paul to say something like this. If we've read Philippians at all, we're familiar with this passage. To live is Christ. Paul has identified himself several times as a bondservant of Christ. He lives to serve Christ. But notice, Paul does not say in the text that he lives for Christ. He says that he lives Christ. And I believe, although the difference may be subtle, it is an important difference. He doesn't just live for Christ. He lives Christ. Every breath that he takes, everything that he does is with a purpose, and that is to serve Christ. In the book of Galatians, chapter 2, now we'll come back to Philippians, but Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, there is a very challenging passage here. Every time I read it, I am humbled by it. I am challenged by it. And I suggest that you are as well. Galatians chapter 2 and at verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To live is Christ. What does that mean? Paul says what that means is that the day I became a Christian, I died that day. And now I live with purpose. Everything I do from this point onward, I do as Christ would have me to do. He writes later in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He is laboring to bring the Galatians to that point so that they would be living, thinking, breathing, acting, talking representatives of Christ on the earth. But I believe that Paul himself would acknowledge that he's going through that transformation as well, that he's putting forth the effort to make every part of his life as Christ would live his life. So what is life for a Christian? To live is Christ. That's what life is. It's the opportunity for us to learn more of our Master and to become more and more like our Master and to live the way that Christ would have us to live. And if we are doing that, then we're going to bear fruit. And that's something else that Paul says in our text in Philippians chapter 1, that if he lives in the flesh, that is, if he is released and he's allowed to live, he says, this will mean fruit from my labor. If Paul is allowed to continue living, he's going to continue serving Christ. He's going to continue doing the things he's been doing as an apostle. He's going to be bearing fruit. And as he's making the point in the text that that fruit is going to benefit the Philippians, but it would benefit all Christians. Paul still had some life to live. And if he was allowed to live that life, he was going to live it for Christ. He was going to live it serving Christ. And there would naturally be fruit that would result from that. He knew that if he was released, he would come to them and help them in verse 25, their progress and joy of faith. See, they still had a ways to go. Guess what? We've always still got a ways to go. There's always more we can learn. There's always something else we need to do to be more like Christ. Paul says, if I live, I'm going to help you with that. There'll be fruit, and I'll get to see your progress and your joy of faith. That's what Paul's attitude was towards life. You see, it wasn't about Paul. It was about, first, it was about Jesus to live as Christ. And secondly, it was about others, like the Philippians. And then, it's not stated in the text, but then, if anywhere, it was about Paul. What are we talking about with Philippians? We're talking about rejoicing. We're talking about joy. How do we find joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And that's what Paul is laying out here. Jesus comes first, and as I'm serving Christ, others will benefit from that. And then he thinks of himself after others. So here's Paul's attitude towards life. But what about death? What about Paul's attitude toward death? And what should our attitude as Christians be toward death? Well, Paul makes the incredible statement in verse 21, to live is Christ and to die is gain. If we're looking at life and death from purely a worldly, physical point of view, death is to be avoided at all cost. We don't want death. Death is the end. Death is the worst possible situation. How could it be possible for Paul to see death as gain? Most people fight for their life. Well, we understand as Christians, the Scriptures teach us, we won't take the time to delve into it in detail, but we know, for instance, from Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, in death the Christian gains rest. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. that they may rest from their labors. We know that for the faithful Christian, death is victory. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. There's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. So for the faithful Christian, in death, we gain a victory. In death, we gain our promised salvation. We have salvation to a certain extent as we're living in this world as faithful Christians, but our salvation is yet to be realized fully. That will only be realized in death. And so, yes, to die is gain. And Paul goes on to describe that further. He says in verse 23 that it is he's hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Death is not the end of man. If you look at it from purely a physical, worldly point of view, it is. Someone dies, that's the end of their life. We bury their body and they're gone forever, never to hear from them again. But the Bible lets us know that man is an eternal being, that death is not the end. Death is, in the Bible, death is simply a departure. And that's what Paul says here. It's a departure from one existence to another existence. We don't cease to exist. We just cease to exist in this physical realm. And we depart to the purely spiritual realm. Now, it's a permanent departure. There is no coming back. The door only opens one way. But it is a departure. I understand in my study that the Greek word in this verse for depart in verse 23 is a word that was used to speak of a ship that was setting sail out of harbor. And you think about that. Put yourself back there in Paul's day, 2,000 years ago. You walk with your loved one up to the ship, and they board the ship, and you stand there on the harbor. And you see them as they get on the ship, and they're standing on the deck of the ship, and they hoist the sails, they let loose the ropes, and the ship begins to sail away. And you can see your loved one on the deck, and you can wave goodbye to them, but eventually that ship gets far enough away, you can't see your loved one anymore. They become a tiny dot, and then they blend in with just the ship. All you can see is the ship, and then eventually you can't see the ship anymore. Did they cease to exist? No. You know they still exist, but you don't see them anymore. That's the word the Holy Spirit uses to describe Paul's death, the death of a Christian. We don't cease to exist. We simply depart. And that was Paul's attitude. That was his understanding of death. And that needs to be our understanding of death as well. For the faithful Christian, there should be no fear in death. Now, certainly, we are apprehensive about the unknown. There are some things about death that we won't know until we experience it. But we are told what we need. We have the information that we need so that as faithful Christians, we can face our own death without fear, without crippling fear. As a matter of fact, we can come to see it as gain. It is in death that we will be, that separation between us and Christ will finally be removed. And we can be like Paul, we can depart, and we can be with the Lord. Now that's what Paul had before him. That was his dilemma. He's contemplating life or death, and he's letting the Philippians know, either way, it's okay with him. Personally, selfishly, Paul says, I'd like to go and be with Christ. That's far better. But he says, practically, and as a servant, as an apostle, he says, I realize that I've still got more life to live, and it would be helpful for me to stay and to continue my work as an apostle, and that would help you. And he acts like, it's almost as if when you're reading these verses, he's given the choice, okay, which one do you want? He really doesn't have any choice in the matter at all. The choice is being made for him. He's just having to deal with both outcomes. And the same thing is true with us. The choice isn't ours to make. But as Christians, we need to live with the reality of each outcome really every day, don't we? We never know when that trumpet's going to sound. We never know when we're going to take our last breath. So we need to come to grips with this early on as Christians so that we can live our life with joy and with rejoicing, knowing that either way, we'll be okay. Paul is letting the Philippians know. They know that he's in prison. They know what the circumstances are. They know that he could lose his life, and he's writing this letter to let them know, I'm in a win-win situation. If I am released, we will rejoice together. If I am not released and I'm put to death, don't be overcome with sorrow for me, because I have gained Christ and I have gained my reward. Either way, Paul says, Christ is going to be magnified. Either way, Christ will be magnified. That's what he said in verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. It doesn't matter if I'm released or if I'm put to death. I'm not going to be ashamed. But with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And we understand how magnification works. In our VBS, we all had little magnifying glasses, right? We understand how magnification works. It takes things that are very small or things that are very far away, and they bring them into better view for us. And that's exactly what Paul was wanting to do as an apostle. And guess what? That's exactly what we need to be doing as Christians. We need to be taking Christ, who, for the lost and dying world around about us, is very far away. And it's very small, because they don't live for Christ. They don't think about Christ. They've heard of him, but he's not in their thoughts. He's not up close. He's very far away. When your friends, when your neighbors, when our coworkers see us and hear us, we need to be bringing Christ closer to them. We need to be enlarging Christ in our lives, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our words, so that they can get a clearer picture of who this Jesus is that we are following. Paul says, life or death, either way, Christ is going to be magnified in my body. Now think, if they already know, people in Rome already know why Paul is there. He has come into town, as we noticed in our last study. He's not on a cruise. He's not on a vacation visiting Rome. He's there as an imperial prisoner. And so the guards know who he is. Those who would be preparing his hearing before Caesar, they know who he is. And guess what they've all learned about? They've all learned the name of this man named Christos, or Christ. And so when Paul is there in Rome, everyone is speaking of this new name, Christos, or Christ. Christ is being magnified, and if he's put to death, it's because of Christos, it's because of Christ, and that name will be associated with that execution. If he's released, he's going to go on and he's going to preach. And guess what he's going to preach? Christ and him crucified. Either way, Paul says, Christ is going to be magnified, he's going to be brought into view, he's going to be enlarged. Paul says, in my body. Isn't that what you and I should be doing? Shouldn't that be our goal? That Christ be magnified in our lives? Regardless of what happens to us, that we conduct ourselves in such a way that people know who Christ is and people are drawn unto him. So either way, Christ is going to be magnified. Paul says, either way, I'm going to be rewarded. Paul wasn't going to lose out either way. Through his death, Paul would gain a closer and a permanent relationship with his Savior, and that is the ultimate goal of every Christian. Through his life, Paul would live to see the faith of others grow stronger. And if he's allowed to live a little bit longer, he's going to do more work, strengthening churches, so that when he does leave this world, he knows that the gospel is in good hands. He can leave the world in peace, knowing that he has succeeded in his work. And either way, he wants the saints to rejoice. If he is released, they will rejoice together. He wants to come to them. They'll rejoice together. But he wants them to understand that there should be no sorrow in his death. He's going home to be with the Lord. And he would want them to rejoice in this victory together with him. That's Paul's attitude towards life and towards death. We visit the book of Philippians often because it is a positive book of joy. But yet when we get to these verses, sometimes we stop. Sometimes we stumble over these things. Well, what does Paul mean here? What is he saying here? How can life be gained? Well, if you have the proper perspective as a Christian, death is simply a departure. And for a faithful Christian, it's a departure to something that is better. Don't we long for something better? Even on the best of days here, there's still something better, and we long for that. But it's only rightfully ours if we are living Christ. If we are living for Christ, if we've crucified ourselves with Christ, and we live Christ. Paul had no fear of death. He saw it as gain. Now we can too, but only if we're living as Christ lived. So you and I get to fill in the blanks here. We get to fill in the blanks here of verse 21. And that doesn't mean that we get to write our own truth, that we can erase these words out of our Bible and write in whatever we want, and that's the way it's going to be. No, we are agents of free will. We get to choose how we're going to live. If we want our death to be gain, we must be living Christ. But that's the choice we have to make. Are you living Christ? If you're living Christ, then you can rejoice now. And you know that when you do depart, when your ship sails, you know that you are gaining in every possible way. And if you're living Christ, and if your death is gain, you're actually leaving your loved ones who are left behind watching you depart the greatest gift that you can, because they can watch you depart in peace and in hope of going to be with you when their life is over and they depart as well. We don't extend the invitation in this hour, but boy, wouldn't this be a good place to put one. We need to rejoice in the Lord always, and we can, but only if we're living for Christ. Let's have that proper attitude towards life and towards death. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you have preserved our physical lives to this point in time, that we could assemble together this Lord's Day, we can open up this portion of your word, and we could consider what our attitude should be towards life, and what our attitude and understanding should be regarding our death. We pray that we would determine to live Christ, and that we would determine that we would conduct ourselves in such a way that we could magnify Christ in our lives to the world around about us. Please give us opportunities to serve you and help us to live Christ, that death may be gain on our part. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're now dismissed to our Bible classes.